Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
/Fightful. If you've heard me talk about Helix, you know what I was talking about regarding my sleeping situation before I found Helix. I was on a slab of memory foam. It messed up my back. I was looking for a mattress, but I didn't want to go to the mattress store and roll around on something other people had been on. But I wanted to make sure I got the right mattress for me. I found the 30,000 plus 5-star reviews from Helix. I saw them in GQ, in Wired, in Good Housekeeping, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I went to helixsleep.com. I took their sleep quiz and I got matched up to the Dusk Luxe model. Now, before, I was only a back sleeper. Now, I'm able to sleep on my back and my side because they personalize that mattress. They find the right one for you. And after that, I hit them up and I said, I love your product so much, I want Fightful to do business. They have a great 100-day money-back guarantee. Not only that, you take their sleep quiz, you match up to the mattress that's right for you. They get flexible payment plans as well. There's no reason you shouldn't try Helix Sleep. Invest in your sleep, because ideally you spend 1/3 of your life in bed. And that's just the sleeping part, my friends. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Well, that's how we fix that audio. And now my video is a little bit off. We will get that fixed right away. Sorry, having studio issues over there. But by God, we are here. We're going to talk AEW, New Japan, Forbidden Door. There we go. Now we're good to go. I am in Studio 2. I went to set up my my audio over there, and for some reason, it didn't work. It wasn't going. But hey, thumbs up. Sorry I had to run back-to-back ads at the beginning of that. But by God, we're here. Thumbs up. Super chats, humper chats. Get that stuff in despite those pesky tech errors. By God, we're here. We're going to give you guys a bunch of backstage news, a bunch of details, all that good stuff here on Fightful's post show. We got a bunch of people that are there at the show as well, but FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, gave you guys a bunch of backstage news. I dropped a bunch of like last second scoops over in the Discord as well on FightfulSelect.com, but man, let's go ahead and jump right into this. It's late. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on plugs. You guys know where to find stuff. FightfulSelect.com, YouTube.com/Fightful, and of course, Fightful.com. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors, BetOnline and Helix and Nord. So let's go ahead and talk about this show. Get in your super chats here at YouTube.com/Fightful. If you're watching on X, on Discord, on really anything else, whatever the hell you're watching on, HumperChats.com, HumperChats.com. We saw C. Parker Hines saying, felt like all the right people won tonight. It really did. Zach Schimmel, who I saw trying to talk AEW into modding their YouTube, says, this is going to be me saying Fightful is the best. Everyone should subscribe to Select. Now for me to drop the bomb of a super chat. Indeed, today we had a bunch of news from behind the scenes. And holy cow, he sent an insane super chat right now. Look at this. He says, so that was a show. Every match ruled to me. Yes, even Jericho. The build to All In should be really good. Britt returning made me very excited. SRS, how would you feel about doing a live Q&A, taking questions from Select subscribers in the Discord voice chat? I could moderate it. Well, with the amount that you just sent, the answer is going to be yes right now. There you go. Yes. I appreciate you, Zach. Listen, we are going to talk about all those points extensively. By the way, if you see that little picture over there, I think that's from our Fightful Select meetup in Greensboro, actually. It was wonderful meeting everybody, but hot damn, man. We have an amazing group here. Zach is great. Zach has been one of our longtime supporters. But, you know, it's funny because there was a clip that from a show that I did the other day and a super chat that I answered that I think rolls into a point that Zach made tonight. And it was, I want to say it was like Jack Cassidy or something. And he clipped a super chat that somebody sent me on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About show. And he said, and they said, what ways would you help viewership or whatever in AEW? And beyond that, just like helping their bottom line, a point that Zach has, they need somebody to mod their damn YouTube channel really badly. And they should, first off, they need to have slow mode on that damn thing. But they should, if you've ever seen one of their live shows, it's nuts. I would have it on members only. That way, you know, that way you can make a little bit of money off of it if you're AEW, pay a salary or two. But let's talk about Kyle Fletcher defeating Serpentico very quickly. First off, Kyle Fletcher is where Will Ospreay was several years ago. I think he's where Kenny Omega was in about 2014, 2015. I think that putting him on the Zero Hour, listen, I'm not necessarily a guy that's like, yeah, add more matches. In fact, I think this could have went with about five less. But you had Kyle Fletcher featured at the end of this show as well. So him getting in there, whooping Serpentico's ass, hitting a Ganzo bomb, brain busta, cool. I'm fine with that. Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King. So they pick up the win here over Private Party, Kyle O'Reilly and Tomohiro Ishii, and Gabe Kidd and Roderick Strong. In my predictions, I thought that maybe Roderick Strong and Gabe Kidd would pick this up. Gabe Kidd, by this time next year, should probably be featured in a very, well, maybe not even this time next year, maybe in about 6 months based on the Wrestle Dynasty thing, should be featured in a pretty big match, I think, on that show. Gabe Kidd can talk people into a venue. He's so good at that. There was an unadvertised Gato appearance, by the way, and that Ishii brainbuster on Brody King was psychotic. And I'm not talking in a good way. It was very dangerous. I'm very glad that Brody King did not end up getting hurt there. But we ended up seeing Brody getting the win after that. Lots of dives here. I think that you needed this. I think you needed with the number of matches that they had, I think that you needed a match that kind of started off and was very like crazy, like very like a stunt show. You kind of needed that early on, I feel like. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. I want to know what you guys think about this show. Zach says, you could use your contacts to tell them to let me mod. I'll do it free of charge every show. I'll even change my name. Listen, I have sent that recommendation in numerous times. Not for you specifically, sorry to say. But the fact that they need a they need something to help clean up that chat over there. We've got great mods, thankfully. Willow Nightingale and Tam DeConnor defeated Watanabe and Chris Statlander. Oh, the finish of this was so good. I'm not going to get into this one like crazy deep. This was Suplex City, a lot of big moves. So what you do here, you are furthering the story of Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. But also, you got Tam Nakano getting the win here, which is a nice way to get them a win as well, which I think is important to do. Because listen, Willow and Chris are probably going to have their match at All In, right? So they'll probably have that there. And then you can highlight talent from Japan and get them a win as well. So I enjoyed the match. This is one that I felt like could have been on, you know, Collision or Rampage or Dynamite, probably Dynamite or something like that. However, the fact that there were four women's matches on this show was, to me, the good part of this having so many matches. If you can advance these stories, and listen, I keep saying I want to see supplemental stories underneath that are not for the title. It's something that I wish I would see in WWE a lot more when you've got people getting title shots off of losses. So I think that this is very, very good. And then you've got a couple names that might be a little bit familiar. And also, listen, a Hammerlock Dragon Suplex. Your boy loves suplexes. I'm all for it. All for it. Mariah May versus Saraya. So this is also one I feel like this could have, you know, main evented a Collision or been a big Dynamite match. But I see why they did this. I look at this, by the way, Mariah May defeated Saraya. This accomplished a number of things. Toni Storm was out there in her curlers, which I think was really good in furthering the story that we saw later on. Not a love triangle, but the attention triangle that we saw between Mina Shirakawa, Toni Storm, and Mariah May. And, you know, initially there were these questions like how pure were Toni Storm's intentions, because she kind of ignored Mariah May at first and dismissed her. And since then, she's become very sincere in taking Mariah May under her wing, right? So Toni being out there literally in her curlers, not as a performative thing, although, you know, it does add a performative value to this. She's got a world championship match later that night, but she's still there for Toni Storm. Mina didn't come out till later. Now, I'm not diminishing Mina's love for Toni at all. And by the way, please check out the Grapsody interview that they did with Mina Shirakawa. But Toni was there for her. And also Mariah wearing Toni's Forbidden Door 2022 gear was a really, really nice touch. I thought that was great. And it wasn't like the exact gear. It was gear that was made up to look like it. But because I even checked, I was like, damn, did she just like loan her the gear? No. Eloquent says, folks got to put respect on the women's division. Yeah, especially the stories being told here. I think that the stories being told at a high level in WWE with the Liv stuff, like they're going at it. But like you're seeing the Mariah May, Toni Storm story. You're seeing the triangle there. You're starting to see something unfold with Saraya as well that I think is going to lead to something. You've got Britt and Mercedes that just launched. You had Mercedes going to Mexico to get the Vakur thing going on. You got Willow and Chris as well. Really good. So Mariah gets the win, and the agenda is on. Mariah May advances in the Owen Hart tournament, and as a result, I think we're getting Toni and Mariah at All In. And it's going to be a big one. I mean, they have seemingly had a vision for Mariah May since she debuted. And obviously before she debuted. But this story is obviously one that could be told. And you know that Mariah May can deliver in the ring. You know she can deliver in the ring. You know that she can deliver from a performance standpoint. You know Toni Storm can get both of those done as well. And there's this ride along the way where Mariah may take some losses, but hey, guess what? She's going to win this tournament and then challenge Toni Storm in her home country. I also really liked the way that they promoted the pay-per-view on this 0 hour, because you've got this world title match later on, right? So Mina comes out and she wants to raise Mariah's hand and Toni wants to do it. And Tony's separating the two of them. Really like that. More on that later. My only qualm here is that I wish that Mariah would have sold the bottle attack from the other day a little bit more. Stereo Academy says, all the hoopers came and balled. Near perfect show. Couldn't ask for more. Stereo, I had a good time watching this. Listen, I do like a shorter show than 5.5 hours personally, but when that show ended the way that it did, hot damn, man. Like, how am I going to bitch about that? How am I going to really bitch about that? Mystico and the Lucha Brothers. Can't believe I'm seeing it, man. Against L.I.J., which is Titan, Tsuji, and Hiromu Takahashi. Now listen, Titan, if you were just an AEW viewer for tonight and you didn't watch New Japan, you would think Titan was real good. Even though he took the loss, there was this spot in the match where Titan got like some really, really good heat and got a lot of shine here, which I think is very, very important here. Because listen, everybody watching this show knew who Penta was, knew who Phoenix was, and knew who Mystico was, for better or for worse. They definitely know who Takahashi is. There's a pretty good chance they know Tsuji's up next, right? Like, that's a lot of us are on the same page there. Titan, kind of middling and all that stuff, but he got a lot of shine here, and I thought that was really good. The Takahashi powerbomb on the floor got a really good reaction as well. But even though Titan took that win, I thought they did a really good job of being like, all right, man, you're clearly here to take the pin, but we're not going to let them know that. 627 says, what's the Discord? You subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, and you will get access to the Discord, the members-only Discord. When you subscribe, it's also, or you can get $54 a year if you so choose. And right now, like, if you don't like a nice, sweet, positive review, Alex is doing sour graps over there as well. We've got dozens of shows every month. We had a preview show ahead of things as well. We had some backstage news ahead of AEW's Forbidden Door. EJ Nduka, he's been signed for over a year. We had that one over on Fightful Select. AEW were very happy with how Collision Brawl with Swerve and Ospreay ended up. There were some unannounced signings that have not appeared on AEW or ROH yet. We're told that those don't even include Camille, who we're not told necessarily when she'll debut, but there have been some steps to, I'll say, prepare for that. Again, we had some news on Ricochet, Natalya, all that stuff. They were still under WWE contract as of today. Like, listen, I know a lot of people were like, okay, Ricochet, his deal is up. And he's off the website on the alumni thing. Well, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, revealed today, Ricochet's deal actually ran through today. I don't know if it's like up at this moment, but he was under contract for Forbidden Door. Now, does a part of me think that WWE tried to do that to maybe disappoint some people? I don't know. It would have been a clever thing if they did, though. Would have been a very, very clever thing. Dijak, however, we reported on FightfulSelect.com. He wasn't the informant on this one, guys, but he was backstage at AEW Forbidden Door, but was not on the show, obviously. Also, how about this one? General outline of the top matches in AEW for All In. They have it, and from what I understand, Ricochet and Ospreay is not the plan for All In, or at least it wasn't as of last month. All that and a lot more at FightfulSelect.com. Action says, happy I get to see my favorite New Japan wrestler, Hiromu. Not only in a great match, but some FaceTime with the camera. I mean,
like Tsuji, Hiromu. Like, I would have figured that maybe they would have ended up in a singles match to really kind of stack things. But, you know, you still had Zack Sabre. You still had some bigger names that were involved here. So BC Aron says, loved seeing Hiromu wrestle again. Don't think I've seen one of his matches since his major injury. He's so entertaining to watch. He translates really, really well to American TV. Like, just like Ospreay does, just like Okada did. It's just wild that this match even happened. Like, there were holy shit chants very, very early because of the nature of this. Because, you know, CMLL believes that the Lucha Bros are done with AAA for a while. Toby says, thanks, Sean. Nord fixed my viewing experience. Hell yeah, brother. Listen, I know they're a sponsor, but they're a great sponsor. Like, that you can save a ton of money if you order pay-per-views by doing NordVPN.com/Fightful. MJF versus Hechicero. This was a pretty short match. Listen, here's what I'll say. There ain't no damn way that MJF was actually backstage watching that monitor in the main event. I bet you anything that shit was a pre-tape. That was a pre-tape. Man's going to do a 9-minute and 50-second match, but he's going to hang around for 4 hours to watch on the monitor backstage. Get out of here. That man was at his house with Bagel Boss, hanging out with Alicia Atoot and Piper the Cat, probably in bed by then. Get out. There ain't no way he was still there. Get out of here. Get out of here. He gets a great ovation. He plays up the Long Island stuff. Obviously, gotta. Crowd loves him. He does a lot of great crowd work. This match is what it needed to be, I think. And Hechicero showed out, which, man, sometimes it's weird to think he's as old as he is. But I think it was a very good idea, as Irene points out, that he kicked off the show. I thought it was a good spot. Like, I think that it's the right move. And he wins with a brain buster. This match was what it needed to be. Not too long. Action-packed. Played the crowd. Fine. No problem with this at all. The Elite, Okada, and the Young Bucks defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi and the Acclaimed. This is another one where I'm like, okay, could this have been on Dynamite or something? Yeah, sure. But like, what are you going to do? Not have Okada and Tanahashi on this show? Of course you're going to have them on this show. So this has to be on the show. The Young Bucks Acclaim thing ain't really doing much for me. But I will say this, Max Caster did much better with his rap this time. It was a little bit more extended. The Elite got really good crowd heat. We saw in Collision, confirmation of a Fightful Select report we had posted on Wednesday, that Hangman might not be the wild card. That might be a swerve. We don't know, but he is coming back, and he has been planned for the first week or two of July for quite a while. And they had a great video to tease that. It made an awful lot of sense to me for Hiroshi Tanahashi and Okada to be in the ring at the same time. Because it's one of those things that will bring back fond memories to people that people swerving Owen, get out of here. It's going to be something that people get nostalgic for, the Okada Tanahashi thing. Now, listen, again, could Okada have had a big singles match against somebody with a big name? Sure. But also, Tanahashi also strikes me as the type of guy who probably volunteered to do this, right? Probably volunteered and said, you know what? Let me put over Okada one more time. Let me do this. Let me show that young man some love and let him know no hard feelings here for what we got going on and for him, you know, leaving. Because, I mean, man, listen, last couple of years, New Japan has taken Switchblade, Okada, Ospreay. Man, but Tanahashi continues to give. Now listen, I am far more generous to Billy Gunn as a performer than most. He's still big. He's still jacked. Not often you're going to see him mess up or anything. Why? Why on earth in the year 2024, when Billy Gunn was on TV quite literally in 1989, wrestling Sting and the Road Warriors in the NWA, is damn near 61-year-old Billy Gunn running off Kazuchika Okada? What the hell are we doing here? What on earth are we doing here? In matches, the man ain't selling, and he's running off a top star. What are we doing? Could he beat me up? Yeah, I would imagine so. Okada? Prime? Doubt it. Come on, man. 61 years old. Somebody says, who cares? Heels run away. 61 years old. They just had a match and he didn't. 61 years old.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, and a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past, and it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them. And you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every day is a match for him. 61 years old. Come out with a weapon or a chain or something like that. Sting was 62. Little bit different. One of the all-time greats. Who usually comes out with a bat. 61 years old. You got to suspend disbelief. Well, I'll tell you what I believe, that he's 61 years old. No, he looks great. He looks incredible. Don't get me wrong. Looks phenomenal. Wish he would sell in his matches more, too. It's where I am. Brian Danielson defeated Shingo Takagi. BetOnline AG, our great partner. Somebody says, if Sting gets a pass, of course, why not Billy? Are we going to compare those two and the careers they had, the booking that happened, the history of them? Come on. Let's be real, guys. Anyway, BetOnline AG, trusted for over 25 years, trusted by millions, the highest credit card acceptance, safe and secure online environment, and payouts in minutes. You can bet on wrestling there. I did not have any underdog locks for this show. The lock that I would have is a plus, or actually, the lock for the next show will be a minus 50,000 that Billy Gunn will still be almost 61. But anyway, one of the locks I had was Brian Danielson. I also had a lock for Mercedes, had a lock for Swerve. All of those won. You can bet on wrestling at BetOnline AG, but that's not it. UFC last night, man, it was a wild one. But NHL, NBA, it's free agent season, man. We're going to work on some prop bets on BetOnline AG for wrestling as well. Check them out. BetOnline.ag. I truly love those guys. We've gotten our odds from there for years. Every time you've seen wrestling odds at Fightful or Fightful Select, they come from BetOnline AG. So shout out to them. Wonderful partners of ours. And again, I said that Brian Danielson was a lock. I mean, Shingo Takagi, we knew that he was here to put over Danielson. He wasn't going to advance in this tournament, although, you know, possibly they could. I think that they set it up in a way that if you really, really wanted to suspend your disbelief, you could be like, man, you know what? Maybe Takagi will hang out in the States for a few more days and face Pac. Because, Danielson. Danielson loves to lose. That's like his thing, right? He loves to put everybody over. But there was this rolling neck breaker on the floor that immediately Danielson sells. And everybody's like, is he hurt? This man, just playing with our heart, playing with our emotions. At this point, he's the boy who cried wolf. I don't believe him anymore when he claims he's hurt. Not saying I don't believe his selling. I'm just saying I'll buy the selling within the context of the match. But I don't buy that he's injured, which is kind of dangerous with him because dude has been through some stuff, right? I don't buy it anymore, though. They have phenomenal chemistry here, by the way. Like, just really, really good chemistry. I much prefer this to, like, the Okada match. But I do think that Danielson will probably sell this injury throughout the tournament. And what a great match to kick off for Danielson in this tournament. Really good. And that's what I think you need in these tournaments, whether it be the Continental Classic or the Owen. I feel like you do need really, really good matches. Like good, you know, 8, 9, 10 out of, obviously you want a 10 out of 10 match, but good 8, 9 out of 10 matches. You need to have these so people see what people are fighting for. Shingo, just really good. Danielson kicked out of the Made in Japan, which got a great reaction. there were yes chants from Shingo, and they got turned into the no chants as well. And Danielson wins with basically a disarmer is what we saw there. I like that. I love him using that modified armbar. And Takagi really couldn't tap out. You see a lot of that, right? Like the person gives up without the visual of the tap. You see a lot of that in these Forbidden Door matches. Oh man, it is so good. It's so good. Go out of your way to watch this. If you're just watching the review, it's a very quick 20 minutes. And there, I don't think there were, besides Swerve and Ospreay, I don't think there were any other 20-minute matches on this show. There were a lot that went between 15 and like 17, 18 or something, right? And however they did their times here, they did it really, really good. But if Danielson's, you know, on his road to full-time retirement, you need to highlight him as most as possible. And listen, we're talking about him being on the road to this retirement. I think he's facing Swerve at All In. That's what I think. That's what I believe is happening. And that's the next pay-per-view. That's the next pay-per-view. And word is his deal is up around that time. Well, there's realistically no way he doesn't work Wrestle Dream, right? He's got to work Wrestle Dream. What a fantastic match. We got notes from the scrum that are coming, by the way. And we will have a lot of details on that. I'll ask our great moderator Luis for some clarity on some of the notes and all that stuff. But Trevor Dame on Twitter always just does an incredible job of that, of covering that. So lots of great notes from him, and we'll have those here for you guys. Tony Storm defeated Mina Shirakawa. This has been a really good story. And the match, I thought, was really good as well. They went about 11, 12 minutes. And it wasn't like the violent destruction turn or anything like that that a lot of people were expecting. The implosion of Mariah and Tony and or Mina here. They played it off and they shook hands, and there was a big kiss at the end between everybody, which got a big pop. But this has been a really good story. Now, I mean, is some of it gratuitous? I mean, sure, you could argue that, but maybe it seems gratuitous because we don't see a lot of storylines between two or three women in love with affection in that degree, at least taken semi-seriously. Again, that Avalanche Impaler DDT was so good. Tony Storm getting the win is what was expected. I was very confident in that, although, you know, there's always the possibility they could have had Mina win and then switch the title right back to Tony. But I it just seems like we are on the road to Mariah May and Tony Storm, and some dipshit in the crowd tried a "You Can't Wrestle" chant and got a womp shut down. Just completely shut down. Mariah basically did the Mike Tyson "now kith" meme. Rex Fortune says, "Had a party for the pay-per-view with friends who didn't watch wrestling. Tony and Mariah's storyline was the most intriguing one to them and proved my belief that anyone who likes drag will like AEW." So, I mean, for a lot of the people claiming that AEW doesn't have stories, of course, there were, you know, the hit rate was not like 100% because it's Forbidden Door, and a lot of the novelty of it is a novelty show. But like, this had a story. Obviously the main event had a story. Mercedes and Stephanie had really built one up. They really tell stories for almost all the matches that they are setting up on television. Or they've got stakes. There's a reason for it. So I think they've been doing very, very good with that. Anthony Martin says, "What about Danielson and Nigel?" I don't think so right now. I think it could happen next year. Yeah. Daniel Garcia was in the scrum with Renee, Matt Menard, RJ City before TK joined the scrum. Said that Ospreay and Swerve was one of the best matches that he had ever seen. Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. Let me know what you guys think of some of these matches. Really interested to see what you guys think. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. Also, if you like Q&As, I do one every single week on FightfulSelect.com. Grapsity does one every 2 weeks. And on our Discord, I have an Ask SRS channel as well, where I just, you know, give you guys a little bit of love and answer some questions for you guys. Zach Sabre Jr. defeated Orange Cassidy. So I didn't have any underdog lock picks on our BetOnline AG odds, but I said if anybody of the underdogs would win, I thought maybe it would be OC, just because he is supremely protected in AEW. Up to this point, this might have been my match of the night. As much as I liked Danielson and Shingo, I really, really loved Zack Sabre Jr. and Orange Cassidy. You can always tell who doesn't watch AEW and is just bitching and complaining when they bitch and complain about Orange Cassidy. Because within the context of what he does, like, nobody's selling his little light strikes. It's that he sometimes falls back into this lazy nature, but he's just an incredibly talented guy. And that's what frustrates a lot of people, is that he uses it to get inside people's minds. And Zack Sabre Jr. is at the post-show scrum right now. And he said that he respects OC and says that anyone that disregards OC as a wrestler is verbatim an effing idiot. I got to agree. Orange Cassidy is incredible. I saw some people like whining over the Outrunners thing. The Outrunners, who are a phenomenal tag team. A great throwback, like, team that can be a serious team or a comedy team. And they were missing elbows over and over again. Why do these people not want to ever have fun? You can tell what kind of person somebody is when they see something that somebody else might snicker or laugh or enjoy, and they're like, ah, this is the worst thing of all time. Come on, brother. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Well, Zack Sabre Jr. is so smooth. Sarah Noble says OC and Eddie are the best wrestling litmus test. Yeah, I mean, there are people that swear to God that Eddie Kingston can't wrestle. It's so weird, man. So weird. And let me tell you, OC does numbers too. I mean, their digital numbers with OC are very good. A lot of the top viewed videos in AEW's history are Orange Cassidy, and have been since the start. So Sabre ends up winning with the Clarky Cat. This was really good. Again, sometimes you got to remind people what Orange Cassidy can do, and I feel like that's important. Zack Sabre Jr. claims that his top priority is to win the G1. Kerry New Japan said he would like to face Brian Danielson in the North Pole for their rubber match. Well, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Katsuyori Shibata, Samoa Joe, and Hook defeated Jeff Cobb and the Learning Tree as Brian Keith is quote-unquote injured. So I don't know yet if Brian Keith is actually injured. They could have done that to set up Jeff Cobb, a New Japan name, working in this to give it the Forbidden Door element. If he's not hurt, I look at this and I'm like, okay, well, the guy that you want to give the rub to in this isn't getting the rub. So I just don't like the Learning Tree thing. I really don't. I think that on a show in which you're doing the Young Bucks stuff, the fake genuine thing, this is just, oh, I think Big Bill does it pretty good. Brian Keith is funny. I saw a glimpse of a light at the end of the tunnel on the Collision segment, which shout out to Hayden Backlund, another Buffalo boy. They were talking about wrist tape, and then Chris Jericho was like, oh, and by the way, steal the wrist tape so you don't have to pay for it later. I would love it when he's giving. I would love him to continue like this scummy advice, right? But I would like for him to drop the fake voice when he does it. like when after he gives that advice of, oh, this is how you should wrap your wrist, then he'd be like, don't forget to steal that shit, by the way. Like, I would love him for him to catch it off camera. This ended up being pretty fun, though. Big Bill hit a choke slam on Samoa Joe. That was a hoot. That was awesome, man. That was really, really great. Hook wins with the Judas effect. Taz's commentary throughout this whole thing is, you know, it's fun. It's fun. The ladder match, Jack Perry ends up winning the TNT title. It's so funny how many people get so mad over this. Listen, guys, do you really hate the Young Bucks that much? Do you really love CM Punk that much? Now, I'd say I don't think CM Punk was ever that mad at Jack Perry, but he probably was. But man, there are so many people that live and die by this. I have really enjoyed Jack Perry since he came back, really, to New Japan. I think that they have played it really, really good. I think they've made the most of airing the footage as well to get him that heel heat. Like, AEW was wise enough to know that that even if CM Punk did something that they perceived as wrong, them airing the footage ended up healing them. And by that, not healing AEW as much, healing Jack Perry and the Young Bucks, who, you know, blamed their title loss on it and adopted him and made them their nepotism baby. That's what the Elite did. And here he earned it. Now, he didn't put himself through the punishment. You had Dante getting brain busted on a ladder. Mark Briscoe did this psychotic dive through a table ladder and Takeshita. There was, oh my God, this Briscoe spot. So Leo Rush is able to turn on a dime. I don't know how he does it. His ACLs are phenomenal. And he keeps redirecting. And then Mark Briscoe's just like, eh, and throws the ladder. But Jack Perry, he was more reactionary in this than anything. He didn't do a lot of the big spots. But he was reacting to a lot of the spots, like the Takeshita Briscoe one as well. Oh, he was really good there. Briscoe coming up short on the table was, ugh, man, that was rough. Hope he's okay. Takeshita with the Blue Thunder Bomb through the table. It like disintegrated the table, right? It just went poof. And that sumbitch was gone. This was one of the wildest ladder matches we've seen in a while. And I'm glad, you know, that AEW got this in before Money in the Bank for them. Because a lot of times they're a little bit after the curve, right? Even if it's not intentional. If you know what I mean, like it just a situation of circumstance. Sometimes they do something like right after WWE does it. Probably good for them to get ahead of it. This was a really good match. I enjoyed this so much. Like sometimes you need a big car crash match. And on this show, you needed a car crash match. Yeah. You needed one of those that just had a lot of stunts in it. Because you knew you were going to see a lot of, you know, good technical wrestling. And the main event was going to be crazy. Sometimes you need a car crash, especially on a show like this, to bring up the crowd. Unfortunately, the crowd didn't stay up for the next match, which we'll talk about. Dijak was on Twitter and he thanked Tony Khan for having him backstage. We reported that on FightfulSelect.com, by the way. Tony Storm is in the scrum. She congratulated TK on drinking his 47th coffee today when he was handed another one. She also read out the lyrics of America the Beautiful. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, she came out, I forgot to mention, in the Statue of Liberty thing, which was very cool as well. I love that. Tony, Mariah, Mina danced, said she wouldn't answer any questions because she knew they were all going to be shite. Okay. All right. All righty then. Parker Hines says, hope the past couple of weeks and tonight show that Mark Briscoe needs to be on Dynamite more. Yeah, he does. But, you know, as ROH World Champion, I would like for that to be his priority unless somebody else becomes ROH World Champion. But he's really good, man. He's really good. I want to see a segment with Jim Parsons of Big Bang Theory and Mark Briscoe, because here has been long my pitch for Mark Briscoe. And keep in mind, I think Big Bang Theory is one of the worst shows in television history. Don't understand why people think it's funny. But all the discussion about Big Bang Theory and the lead-in, which is objectively a good lead-in for them, people love the show. I don't. People love it. I have long wanted Mark Briscoe to be revealed as a secret genius. Sort of like the R-Truth pitch I've always had. I want Mark Briscoe to eventually be revealed as a genius. So I want him like talking backstage with Jim Parsons, Sheldon. Oh man, that's what I need. That's what I need. So unfortunately, the crowd was largely dead for the start of Mercedes Moné and Stephanie Vaquer, who I want to say did a really good job building this. Mercedes went to Mexico as well. Mercedes did a really great job on TV, on her interviews, of really promoting Stephanie Vaquer as well, which I think goes such a long way. Having the endorsement of a Mercedes Moné and her saying, you know, she might be the person that I have the most chemistry with. That goes a long way. Now, early in the match, there was a rough spot with Mercedes trying to do the kip up, but what I liked was they played it into the match. Like, she tries to do the kip up. She didn't quite hit it. It was a double kip up, by the way. And Stephanie Vaquer does one of the filthiest dragon screw leg whips I have ever seen in my life. Just a naughty dragon screw leg whip. Real deep. Real deep. Now, the crowd turned on Mercedes throughout this match because they're a New York crowd. Now, I like this. I think that they should plan for this for Arthur Ashe Grand Slam at the end of September, which has been announced. Because Mercedes got booed from being from Boston. They said, F the Celtics, F the Red Sox. And then she smiled about it. She is so comfortable doing that and getting that heat that didn't shake her. Like, Mercedes is such a smart woman. She knows there's nothing she could have done about that. There's no amount of baby face fire that was going to help her. And she also knew what was going to happen after this match and knew that it actually played very well into what was going to happen after this match. So you didn't see her getting rattled. You didn't see her getting shook. You saw her being like, okay, this is going to work out really, really well for me. She got a little bit more aggressive, as Kim Chi points out here. Got a little bit meaner. I really dug it. I really liked that because I think at that point, you know, they're building Mercedes as a babyface. But it's clear that they, with Britt coming back, they're going to reevaluate this and be like, all right, well, how is Britt going to get reacted to this upcoming week? I agree with Mark Oates, by the way. Stephanie Vaquer very clearly has it. Mercedes picks up the win. I'll tell you somebody else who has it. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, has it. She has been sidelined for 10 months. Tony Khan said on the scrum, or not the scrum, well, sort of, the media call this week that he was very excited for Britt to come back. She's been out since September 16th, 2023, a TBS title match against Chris. And, I mean, listen, for all the goofy shit that Britt got blamed for, like, listen, is everybody going to see eye to eye with her? No. But that woman always showed up in shape. She worked hurt. And if she was hurt and she couldn't work like in the ring, she would get herself over outside the ring. And she put people over. She put people over all the time. Go back and look at her last few matches. Chris Statlander beat her. Tony Storm won a four-way eliminator against her. What else we got? Outcast beat her, Sheeta, and Statlander. Lost on at All In. Outcast beat her before that as well. That woman was putting people over, put over Ruby Soho a couple months before. Sky Blue beat her in a top contender match. Tony Storm beat her in a title match. That woman was putting people over left and right. And this is a situation where I feel like absence makes the heart grow fonder, but she rolled up out there. She looked like $1 million. $1 million. And I'm hoping, you know, she had the time to heal up and all that stuff, because she did look like she was banged up in those last few matches. And I want to see her healthy. And listen, man, I know Britt Baker a very little bit, and she does not like to sit out. She does not like to sit out, man. Think of all the injuries she worked with, like what, the broken nose, the broken wrist, the broken leg. Like, my God, it's so funny. I remember I was interviewing her. You can go back and watch it from a couple years ago at the Lexington Comic Con. And David Koechner from Anchorman walked by, and she's like, "Hey, Koechner, come to dinner with me and some friends tonight." And he was joking, and he said, "I can't. I broke my leg," like as a joke. And she goes, "Oh, that's cute. I wrestled with a broken leg once." And he kind of gave the, like, "Yeah, right. He. And I was like, "No, she did. She did wrestle with a broken leg and a broken wrist and a broken nose." Jesus Christ. So glad to have her back. So looks like that's the direction for All In, and a hell of a match for All In. Britt Baker, DMD. Listen to that reaction. Mercedes Moné. Hell yeah. So AEW got back MJF in May. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD in June. Getting Hangman Page back in July. I think those are three integral pieces. Over the last several months, AEW has just objectively lost quite a bit of viewership. I don't care about the lead-in or anything like that. AEW should not have ever been in a position, ever been in a position to draw 502,000 viewers. Because let's go back a year. A year ago, they were between 800,000 and 900,000. But lose Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. They're still in the 800s, so it didn't have... I mean, they weren't hitting 900 very often. You lose an MJF, you're struggling to stay above 850. Then you lose Hangman Page, you're struggling to stay above 800. Hopefully, all three of those people being back really, really helps. And also, I think that they have their stories pretty well mapped out. It was announced that Wrestle Dynasty is confirmed for January 5th for the Tokyo Dome. So you got Wrestle Kingdom January 4th. Then on January 5th, it is a collaborative show between New Japan, AEW, Stardom, CMLL, and ROH. I hope I didn't put AAA on the graphic or on my announcement. Okay, I didn't. Thank God. Think there's any chance Omega is healthy before the Japan pay-per-view? Japan Omega is a different level of amazing. I hope so, but I have not yet heard an update on him. I know he got his surgery in a couple weeks. About a month or two ago. Sean, people are buying Nord and Fight. You're too good of a salesman. Listen, my friend, it ain't hard to sell NordVPN legitimately. Like, they, okay, so not to go off on a tangent, Helix, Nord, BetOnline, a couple others, they were things that, like, I just legitimately used. And then I hit them up and I was like, hey, we should do a partnership. I'll tell you something that you guys should use, though.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because a mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Should do it, guys. BlueChew, code FIGHTFUL. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Hey, if you all don't mind, couple of favors. I know I asked for super chats, humper chats, and we greatly appreciate those as always. Fightful Select, of course. Here's a couple free ways you can help. Over on Apple, especially, if you don't mind showing us some love over there or Spotify, leave us a nice 5-star review that helps people find us. Also, on the video version of this, you'll leave a comment. Tell us your favorite thing, your least favorite thing about this show, not just in the live chat, but in the comments as well. That goes such a long way for us. Patrick says, never thought I'd see SRS shoot that hard on Mr. Ass. Also, Fightful is away, far and away the top media outlet of all time, trans rights and free Palestine. Mr. Ass, listen, I did a cover of that theme song. I like him, like, as a performer. It's just, I don't want a lot of, I don't want him no selling. You know what I mean? Don't want that. TK says that Britt Baker will be on this week or this week's Dynamite. This week's Dynamite. Mercedes Moné kicked off the scrum with a giant bottle of tequila that was given to her by George Clooney, apparently. George Clooney's from my hometown, or his family is from my hometown of Maysville, Kentucky. Then called Britt Baker a bitch for taking her spotlight after the match. This is fully in character. She said she wants to prove that she's the best in the world and thinking about going to both Mexico and Japan to defend the titles. Hey, listen, FightfulSelect.com had reported months ago that New Japan had title plans for Mercedes. Well, they no longer have title plans for John Moxley because Tetsuya Naito beat him. Listen, this one wasn't quite it for me. I'm interested to see how you guys felt. Naito won. This one was one I was very, very confident in as well. But I don't know. Maybe it was just getting late in the night to where I felt the crowd was suffering. You did have the Death Rider New Japan theme. The match happened. I don't think that it instilled any excitement in New Japan for people that were watching the show and are primarily New Japan fans. You know what I mean? Like, the ending was just not quite it. I mean, we can call it a bad match or anything. It's one of those things where, like, I didn't think Deonna and Tony was a bad match either. It's just that compared to the other stuff that was on that show, I was like, okay, not good. That's how I feel like it was here. It existed. It happened. And obviously, if you can get Naito versus John Moxley on a show like this, you do it because they're big names. It's just, it didn't click. It wasn't quite there. Like, I like the six-man tag more than this. At least I thought it was at least entertaining. But, like, as I thought about this match, I'm like, man, this is, like, probably not even a top 10 match on this show. Didn't feel like it belonged. It didn't feel like a pay-per-view quality match. If they would have had this same match on Dynamite, I would have been like, hell yeah, IWGP title match and the title change. But, like, why you can't do that, right? You can't do that. Wasn't for me. This match, Ibrahim Osama says bad match placement on the card. Yeah, I think so, man. I think they could have done this earlier and maybe it would have played better. But also, I understand IWGP world title match. You can't do that. It's got to be co-main. Falcon says unpopular call. Mox is 2024's version of Sandman. Catchy theme. Over with live crowds. Violence is his personality. Acquired taste, in my opinion. Well, I like Moxley a lot. It's just tonight, I didn't think the match was good. I didn't. Like, as I'm looking at it right now, I think there were 13 matches I liked. Probably 12 matches I liked more than this. And if you would have told me years ago that there were, it wouldn't have been in the top dozen matches. Man, I wouldn't have believed myself. But also, Naito ain't quite the same these days, right? Like, a little bit slower, a little bit easy for me to say. Yeah. Disappointing, for sure. Disappointing. Well, guys, hot diggity damn. We're about to get into the main event. Before we do this, I want to encourage you guys to check out something that I will be promoting pretty heavily, the Dementia Society of America. I'm going to be doing some stuff pretty soon to benefit them. If some of you have watched my Twitter lately, you can probably get a pretty good feeling of what I'm doing, but not official yet. But please donate to the Dementia Society of America. My grandmother was diagnosed with it and passed away a few months ago, and it is a cause very near and dear to my heart. Send me, if you do donate, send me a DM or something in Discord or a message or a Fightful message, something letting me know. I'd like to do something special for those that do donate to that. And really, any cause that helps out families with in-home care with dementia. I cannot tell you how important that was for my family in the last 4 months as well. But it's something that means an awful lot to me. I don't do like wrestling matches or appearances or anything like that for money. I always want it to go to a good cause and to use it to raise awareness for some good causes. And this is one that is very, very important to me. So check it out. It will be my pinned tweet on Twitter, if you guys don't mind. Listen, I know that times are hard for a lot of people, so if anything, maybe just slap a retweet on it, give it some attention, help spread awareness, because I learned an awful lot about dementia over the last couple of years, and it's rough, man. And just share a little bit of love and maybe help out a good cause. Oh boy, Swerve Strickland defeated Will Ospreay. On our BetOnline AG odds, I had Swerve Strickland as the lock. I'm going to have quite the interesting story on this on FightfulSelect.com on Monday. How this match came about and why I was told it happened. These two guys are very good friends. They've been across the world together, and you could see it here. They did this build that I thought was very good, where Ospreay got this match and everybody was thinking all in, of course. Well, that wasn't the plan for All In. It's not been the plan for All In. It's clearly Ospreay, MJF, Swerve Danielson at this point for me. But like, if not now, when? right? Like, well, you gonna wait till Wrestle Dream? No, probably something else there too. World's End? Sure, maybe you can wait 6 months. I say to hell with that. Do the match. Do this. Am I in favor of the international title not being up for grabs or, you know, getting beat by someone? No, not really. But hey, here's how I look at it. They showed you that the international title was right there on the level with Swerve and the world title. Not only that, they had Daniel Garcia, who's booked for a match this week. I'll have some news on him this week on FightfulSelect.com as well, watching. They had MJF watching, who absolutely was not there. There's no way. To me, this put that title on the level. And you had a lot of people saying, oh, he's just a placeholder for Will Ospreay. Okay, what now? What now? No. Swerve's the guy. But also Will is the guy. He is the guy. They've got such a great roster right now. Just such a great roster. And sometimes I think you need to have two guys that can't afford to lose be in a situation where one of them has to lose. Because that's what we want to see. Those are the fights you want to see. Ospreay came out with a Hayabusa mask. Listen, that was very close to my heart, man. Hayabusa was one of my favorites. When I was a kid, there was an FMW VHS. It was like a best of Hayabusa or something. VHS. Which is so wild that in Maysville, Kentucky, at a Dollar Town store, they carried that. I rented that thing so many times. And then Jim Jones of Dipset brings out Swerve Strickland. Incredible. Incredible. Oh, man. This exchange at the start. So sometimes you forget that Swerve is capable of the type of things that he's capable of. And he was hanging right there with Ospreay. And Ospreay really has done what intended. He has raised the level of in-ring wrestling on TV in America. There was the Shuriken Run off the barricade, the Styles Clash from Ospreay, the Super Angle Slam. But I'll tell you the spot that had me flipping out. There was a Swerve Stomp, like, I can't remember if it was off the apron or the top rope or what the hell it was off of. And Ospreay took it magnificently. What an artist that dude is. He just flattened out and took that on the table. That was one of the best spots I've seen in a long time. Ospreay is still having this internal conflict with the Tiger Driver, right? And as a result, it gets countered, and then Swerve hits his own hidden blade. Whew. And let me tell you, it was with reckless abandon. That thing was naughty. It was gross, bro. Swerve clocked Ospreay hard. Phenomenal stuff. However, he missed the stomp, and Paul Turner, the referee, ends up eating a hidden blade. Now, I don't think that Ospreay like got the pin or anything there, right? Like, so there, it wasn't like a, oh, well, he actually won type of thing. I did think that the setup for the finish was a little overdramatic. And it was Don Callis coming out with the screwdriver to get Ospreay to use it. However, Ospreay ends up threatening to use it on Nana, and then he's like, no. And I just felt like that was dragged out a little bit and milked a little bit too much. I don't know. That part was the only part of the match I was like, eh. You know, not for me. Nana pushing Callis down was really great too. But that was the only part of the match that I was like, that was a little much. It was really drawn out. That being said, we get back in the ring and it goes wild. House call, swerve stomp, and I'm like, okay, good finish. Nope, it's a kick out. And then what Swerve will often do, he'll just be like, all right, I'm going to go back to the house call. Hell yeah. Well, no, it's a kick out. And it was so great to see this finish where Swerve saw the hidden blade coming and Ospreay just didn't quite have it in him to throw it like he usually does. And he just catches it. Oh, he just catches it and he's pathetic, man. Sad. JML driver win. And also, Swerve had kicked out of a Stormbreaker too. Which, you know, Ospreay's got like a million finishes. So he's got the Tiger Driver. He's got the Stormbreaker. He's got the Hidden Blade. This is phenomenal. Incredible stuff. Swerve Strickland is who we thought he could be. And then everything beyond that. He's so good. Ospreay is exactly what we knew he was going to be here. JPJ Loves Gaming says MJF costing Ospreay Wednesday. I feel it. I do too. I could for sure see that happen. Bootleg Toast says looking forward to your take on the main event. Ospreay and Strickland are operating on a different level right now. I loved it. It's everything I thought it would be and more. Vicky, our good friend, says hi SRS and team. Amazing pay-per-view. Appreciated the announce team giving us a backstory for us, those of us who don't see New Japan. Cash for Ospreay. Will Callis divorce him, or will he and Kyle divorce him after tonight? What's next for Orange Cassidy? No allies. I think that Orange Cassidy should be on his own. I think he should be a man without a ship, so to speak. I was under the impression that Ospreay would not be involved with Callis for even this long. But now it seems like that Callis will probably go after him thinking that he's weak. You did see Kyle Fletcher out there as well. You see Kyle Fletcher out there and he's, you know, eyeing some things. And Kyle Fletcher is going to be a guy in the future for AEW, a big time name. He's going to be really good. Can cut a promo, looks good, can wrestle his ass off. Great pedigree. The story of this match was so good. The Ospreay Swerve one. So we knew these two liked each other. They brought it up. And it got a little bit personal, a little bit violent. But it was very clearly in the name of getting in one another's head. That's what the whole thing was about. You could tell that they had sort of in storyline worked themselves into a shoot. Been like, well, I got to one up the other guy. I got to one up the other guy. And then afterwards, Swerve consoles Will Ospreay. And it's so good. And Ospreay is beside himself. He's bummed out. He treated this like he lost a world title match. Joshua says, great event tonight. Loved the main event. Was hanging out in the Fightful Discord for the first time. Wanted to say thanks for the great and welcoming community you guys have there. Have a great night. Well, thank you for not only joining that, but sending a Humper Chat, which we are reaching the end of the show. So send in those Super Chats, Humper Chats. We do have a bunch of scrum notes we're going to drop. But yeah, I love hanging out on that Discord, guys. Samantha Poole says, tonight will be my fourth AEW show and first New Japan show. Overall, the pay-per-view was solid. There were some moments where it was either meh or okay with some of the matches. Happy Britt is back. Monet should turn heel after those boos, but that main event, There are no words. Samantha, that main event was so good. Also, I think that they will, Samantha, look at how the reactions go this Wednesday and probably try to determine something based on that, whether somebody should be a face or a heel with Mercedes and Brett. Peyton says, is there a chance that AEW can run MSG for one of these big pay-per-views, or does WWE have exclusivity? Exclusivity as best I know. And WWE killed it at MSG Friday. Killed it. I'm hoping that they still run run in December, because I'm going to be there Christmas week. It says, tonight's crowd wasn't good at all, and I think MSG would be a good venue for them. I mean, I think the crowd was fine. I think the crowd was fine. MSG would be a great venue for them, but I think there's loyalty there with WWE. Get in your super chat. Get in your humper chat. Tony Khan says he'd be open to running a show in Puerto Rico. He was also asked by Cresta about a meat division. Tony Khan said that Brody King was fine after the Brainbuster. Talked about the collaboration with the Reebok shoe and Brody Lee. Says AEW will still hold an episode of Dynamite on Wrestle Kingdom and Dynasty Week, but would still participate in the festivities. He also hyped up Atlantis Jr. after he won the ROH TV title this past Friday, ahead of Death Before Dishonor. Swerve said that he and his team worked meticulously on every aspect of himself, and people like Jim Jones and Floyd Mayweather showing up, Fabulous Rick Ross, Kevin Gates, and the like. When facing Danielson again, he said he wanted to get his win back because it would mean a lot to him, saying that Danielson was the list of people he wanted to defend his title against. And I asked Swerve who else he wanted to face, and he said, you know, alluding to Jon Moxley and all that. He said that he likes to do more personal feuds like he did with Hangman, and said he'd like to with Daniel Garcia and MJF as well. And he also says that he and Ospreay have a chip on their shoulder, and that's why the company is special, and he believed he silenced a lot of critics tonight. Well, by God, guys. What a night. And we're right back here tomorrow for the post-Raw show. Then Tuesday for the post-NXT show. Then Wednesday for the post-AEW show. Then Friday for SmackDown. Saturday for Money in the Bank. We're here all week. Couple interviews that are dropping this week. Simon Miller with Corey Brennan. Yes, that's Simon Miller. You know that? That good fella here on Fightful. This week, I am finally dropping my interview with Tommaso Ciampa ahead of his tag team title match. Check that out. Of course, you can get early access to all those on tier 2 of FightfulSelect.com. WWE Mark says, need an MMA podcast. My friend, I did hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. And unfortunately, I lost my love for MMA. Covering it for 10 years of your life will definitely make you not love it as much. But, you know, anything's possible. Anything's possible. But I want to say thank you to all of you who joined me for this 80-minute post-show and sat through two ads at the start of this show because my audio messed up. Big thank you for that. Please leave a thumbs up. Please support all the great shows we have here. Grapsody, The Spotlight, In the Weeds, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Fightful Overbooked. I just want to say thank you all. Until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.